because they had administrative access or full access to the environment, they did, I think, more from, you know, human interest, human frailty, if you will. But at the end of the day, I don't think that it's really anything they're doing in a nefarious way. It's just more from a, you know, a human interest perspective to see, hey, what can I look at? What can I learn? Is that something that's going to help me do my job better or help me know more about what's going on in my organization?
And that was part of the, I mean, of course, people want to know who's being fired and hired and all those kinds of things. I mean, you're just curious. Sure. And systems administrators tend to find those things out earlier than most people anyway, because they have to set up all the stuff. But they can get in there and find out some of those things even before really anybody else does.
Not only can they find out before anybody else does, but really should they be able to find that information out, right? I think oftentimes these types of surveys come out and the response is, well, you're calling the administrators bad people. And at the end of the day, we're not calling the administrators bad people. What we're really trying to suggest is that organizations have a responsibility to be able to manage the privileges and the power that they give to their users. And if you don't manage those privileges, then you're really abdicating your organizational responsibility in terms of managing your organization in a financially secure, organizationally secure, business proper manner.
And of course, this is high on the mind of a lot of federal organizations. We've seen this case involving the WikiLeaks, where an Army employee leaks stuff to WikiLeaks. So this is something that happens in the federal space as well, can happen.
It 100% happens across the type of organization, commercial, government, doesn't matter. And, you know, it's interesting, the WikiLeaks example, they talked an awful lot about the fact that the information was leaked. Well, to leak the information, you need to be able to gain access to that information, first of all. And so that's really, I think, the more concerning or extremely concerning part of that is the fact that this gentleman had access to that information. How did he get that access? Was that access proper or improper? Was it identifying that he had done it or not? Similar things that we've seen in other government organizations, whether it was a malware bomb being planted within the TSA environment by an employee, or even in the Fannie Mae environment from a disgruntled ex-employee whose access to their environment had never been shut off, yet he still had that access as a power user. He was able to put a malware worm in their environment, a malware bomb in that environment, and could have caused significant damage if it hadn't been discovered. So this is the type of scenario that does happen across the different types of organizations out there. I think that organizations and certainly government organizations are increasingly aware of the risks associated, and now we're just trying to raise the awareness and say that there are solutions out there to be able to address these challenges.
And actually, Secretary Gates, the defense secretary, was asked about the WikiLeaks situation, and he responded saying, I don't want to not trust our people. We have to trust our people. And in a way, that's not what you're saying. What you're saying is you need to put measures, almost checks and balances, right?
I couldn't agree more. You need to put the checks and balances. And if you ask the people, they'll say, I want you to know what I'm doing so that you know that what I'm doing is correct. 88% of the people within our survey said, I think that it's right to monitor what I'm doing as a privileged user out there. Unfortunately, only 71% of the companies actually have those types of monitoring in there. So when you ask the end users, when you ask the administrators, they're going to say, 99% of them are going to say, I'm not doing anything wrong, so yeah, you should be watching what I'm doing.
So what can organizations do to have those kinds of checks and balances? What's out there?
Well, first of all, I think that they need to make a decision to really include managing privileged identities, users, accounts, sessions as part of their overall security and identity management program. If they don't make it a priority within their organization, there's no tool or process out there that's going to help them solve the problem. They need to make it a priority, number one. Number two, they need to go out there and really take an inventory of, well, what are out there? What privileged accounts exist out there? Who should have access to these accounts? And then ask the really, really hard question. Who really does have access to these accounts? I'll guarantee you that in every case, the amount who should have access is much less than the amount who really do have access, because that access has been unmonitored for years and years. Now, there are solutions out there. CyberArk offers one, our Privileged Identity Management Suite, now in its sixth version. We've been out there with it for 6 years, over 700 companies using it. There's several other versions that are out there from other organizations. So there are off-the-shelf tools to be able to secure, manage, and audit these privileged accounts, users, and sessions. But at the end of the day, if the organization doesn't make a decision to include privileged identities as part of their security program, no tool in the world is going to help them.